Morning, everyone. You're at the Revelation series. This is Martin Zender, and Revelation chapter 12, her child is snatched away toward God and toward his throne. What is the child snatched away from, and what is the child snatched away to? You've probably already figured this out by what I've been telling you, but the child is snatched away from the surrounding nations where these individuals have been. They've been surrounded by darkness. They perhaps have been part of the darkness themselves, although they've had an inkling of the truth. They are going to be enlightened by God at this sign. This sign will be the indication of the enlightenment beginning, and they will be snatched away from all the nations where they've been scattered. And it sounds like an emergency delivery. Well, it kind of is, because as John says at the beginning of the unveiling, these things are going to occur swiftly. And so thus snatching away goes along with the idea of these things happening swiftly. That's why we're in a compressed period. And these things will happen swiftly. And just when you think nothing's happening, that's when everything's going to start happening, one thing after another, like dominoes. And they're going to be falling. And so these people will be enlightened and taken away from where they are and taken to another place. Again, it doesn't have to be supernaturally. It could be by Delta Airlines. Really could be. I'm not looking for people to be snatched away in the manner of Philip in the book of Acts or in the manner of Enoch. I'm looking for them to be snatched away by Delta or United. I don't think Spirit goes to Turkey. That's what I'm looking for. And I tell you that with confidence. Now, somebody made a comment to me on an email that I want to mention to you now before I forget it, because it's very interesting. I've thought of it myself. Some of you might have. We know that we're going to be snatched away before the tribulation, and we know that many of our family members and loved ones will be left behind. All Christians will be left behind. All Christians will be left behind. Because Christians aren't believers. They're a member of a religion. And so the question is, will we be interfering in events? Will we be coming back? I said before we're coming back to rescue them, but of course I clarified that the next day by saying that when these people who are going to go through the tribulation, when they, some of them die, they're going to rise at the great white throne after the 1,000 years are finished, then we are going to be there as judges, operating in the stead of Christ with the authority in the name of Christ, and we'll be judging the living and the dead. Yes, well, why not? We're also going to judge angels. So it'd be no problem to judge formerly dead human beings. But this is a different question and a different consideration before I get back to the Revelation 12 text. Would we act in the capacity that many people think angels act today? Angels come down and assist people, according to many Christians. I think messengers are chiefly for Israel. We always see messengers, angels like Gabriel and Daniel, Gabriel and Michael in association with Israel. I don't believe we have angels. They used to tell me in the Catholic Church when I was a kid growing up in Catholic school, going to school at St. Joan of Arc in Canton, Ohio, that my guardian angel was sitting next to me. We literally were told to move over in our seats so that the guardian angel could sit next to us and help us and assist us through life. Seriously, that's what they told us. But we don't need angels. Juliana is so sweet here. She talks about God sends his angels. I said, you don't need his angels. You have God himself. God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is within us, and Jesus Christ is our defender and our advocate before the throne of God. Who needs the pages? Who needs the messenger boys? Who needs the coffee getters? Those are what angels are. They're messengers. They're the lowest form of celestial life. We don't need them. We have Jesus Christ himself. So, you know, for the first time in history, after the snatching away, there are going to be many human beings, former human beings that are still human beings, but they're glorified human beings in heaven. Everybody's dead right now, right? Paul's dead. Tryphena and Tryphosa are dead. All the members of the body of Christ that have gone before us are dead. But for the first time, after the snatching away, the dead and the living will rise to be with Christ. We're going to be vivified in the heavens. This is the first time. Jesus Christ so far is the only one. He's special. He's the Son of God. We're going to be up there. So all bets are off. Now, nothing like this has ever happened before. So we have nothing to gauge this by. But, you know, some of us in the past have thought now that, oh, my grandpa, he died 35 years ago. He's coming down to help me, you know. No, that's absolutely not true. Dead people are dead. But now there's going to be living people in heaven for the first time. Will we come down during the tribulation to assist our friends and loved ones? You're going to be surprised at my answer. I say, why the hell not? I'm serious, because it's going to be a time, just all bets are off. You've never seen anything like it on earth or in heaven. It's going to be so unique of a situation. There's no template for it, except to say that you're concerned about your loved ones. Maybe you're concerned about your dogs and your cats. You're afraid that nobody's going to feed them when you're gone. Will you come back as a member of the body of Christ and put a little food in their bowls? I'm really not joking. I say yes, why not? I say yes. I have nothing in the scripture that tells me no. I have nothing in the scripture that tells me no. I've told you many times that we're not limited to heaven. As celestial beings whose realm is inherent there, we're never limited to it. And Jesus came to and fro and he helped the disciples. Well, I guess there is a bit of a template here. There's a bit of a model, a bit of a precedent. Jesus Christ came down to help the disciples, to prove to them. No, here's a point. Just occurred to me. He comes down after his resurrection, walks through a wall to prove to them that he's alive, especially to Thomas. So our loved ones will be wondering what happened to us. And many of you are upset that you've left your loved ones in the lurch after the snatching away. Why can't we, like Jesus, come back in glorified bodies and say, see, it is I. Yeah, that's what I will say. I will be very dramatic. See, it is I. Martin Zenda, now a glorified creature. Watch this trick, and I will do something that will make my hand disappear and reappear. Something phenomenal. And that will prove to our loved ones and former enemies that indeed we are now changed, and we weren't full of crap after all. Sorry you didn't jump on the bandwagon. Sorry you didn't read my book when I gave it to you. But no hard feelings. Could you use a little defense against the locusts? Well, I got some pull with the minister of locusts, and I can relieve your situation. I'd like to do that for my enemies. It would be great. It'd be great fun to bless my enemies after I scare them a little bit. Yeah, you should have read my book, but tell you what, I'm going to relieve you of the locust plague here for at least for an afternoon. I don't see why not. I certainly like the idea, but me liking the idea has nothing to do with the thing being true or not. I want to complete a thought from yesterday. I talked about the beast, actual Satan, the ugly creature, and the beautiful manifestation on earth. And we're seeing something similar with that, to that on the earth with a woman. And the woman Israel and the people of the nation, that is the child, the son, that is being born out of the woman, being represented here by, you know, Jupiter and Virgo in the September 23rd constellation. You can almost say it's interchangeable. We talk about the nation Israel, but what is a nation? Who cares? Is it a signed document? Nation consists of individuals. So when we say Israel, it's sometimes a figure of association. Figures of speech. It could be said to be a figure of association, where we're putting a nation for the people of the nation. There's a verse in the Gospels to say, and all Jerusalem came out to see Jesus. All Jerusalem? How can a city go out to see a man? Well, it's put for the people of the city, so it's a figure of association. And so I think we're seeing that here in Revelation 12. So let's go back to the text and hit it one point at a time. And she brought forth a son, a male, who is about to be shepherding all the nations with an iron club. And her child is snatched away toward God and toward his throne. Doesn't mean they're going to the throne or to God. They're going toward it in the sense that there is spiritual progress being made. That's how I'm taking this verse. And the woman fled into the wilderness, there where she has a place made ready by God. Israel has a place in the wilderness, that there they may be nourishing her. I pose the question to you, who is the they? I say the they is the sons, the Israelites, the 144,000, the vast throng, possibly, right? Probably. And that they are nurturing the nation, Israel. And the nation now exists in hiding. It's almost a shadow government. The actual nation of Israel that people would recognize is still in Jerusalem. And it's being, you know, maybe some magistrates are visiting it. Maybe Trump's visiting Israel. But that's the recognized nation. But there's a shadow government. There's the true Israel. And it's operating in the shadows. That is, I believe, in Turkey, where the seven ecclesias will be that are talked about in Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to get into that next, those seven ecclesias, which Bullinger and A. Enoch both believe are future ecclesias. I believe that also. It could be that they were there also in the past, but I don't care about that. They're certainly welcome to have been there in the past, but it doesn't mean they won't be there in the future. You might call that a dress rehearsal in the past. It's primitive. And now we're seeing the full fruition of it. After all, John went to be in the Lord's day. I'm going to get into all of that. So, moving on, in Revelation 12, the woman fled into the wilderness. Yes, 1,260 days, by the way, is 3.5 years. And you know what I'm teaching here is I believe there's a 3.5 year staging period before the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation starts. Now, verse 7, and a battle occurred in heaven. And this will be manifested on earth in some way. Michael and his messengers battle with the dragon, and the dragon battles and its messengers. What are they fighting for? Let me tell you, folks, they're fighting for the same thing that they fought for when you were called as a member of the body of Christ. Except it was Satan himself who withstood your acceptance, your cognizance of the calling that you were predestined with before the disruption of the world. As soon as you began to be awakened, I'm comparing now the awakening of Israel to your awakening, because there are parallels here. We've been chosen before the disruption of the world to be sons of God, members of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Read the whole first chapter of Ephesians. You'll see that we're designated beforehand. Sometime in our life, we were awakened. Satan goes into panic mode because he knows that we're destined to usurp his place among the celestial. So he does everything he can to forestall our coming into a knowledge of what God has predesignated. Satan's doesn't have all the pieces lined up. All his duckies are not in a row, because if it's predestined, then it has to happen. Just like the cross was predestined to happen. The lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, the blood of Christ foreknown before the foundation of the world. So Satan, he must not have that verse on a magnet on his refrigerator, because he thinks he can derail it. So he makes Christ doubt on the cross. He tries to tempt him in Luke 3 and 4 from going on his public ministry by offering all the kingdoms ahead of time. All authority has been given to me, Satan says, and so I give it to you. Just bow down to me and all this can be yours. Kind of like The Price is Right, Satan's version of it. Horrible, terrible. Jesus Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that emerges from the mouth of God. He tells him to feed the people, be a political savior, be a food savior, be a money savior, be a power savior. Jesus says no. Of course, he was very weakened at the time from hunger, but man shall not live by bread alone. That's when he said that. It's beautiful, beautiful. And I'm telling you, we have these things now. We have bread, we have some money, we have some political advantage living in the United States of America, a great nation. It's not the only great nation, but it's a hell of a nation to live in. But we do not live by these things alone, but by every word that comes from God. And I'm reading these words for you in Revelation. I have referenced words in Ephesians. These words are our lifeline to peace and to truth and to escaping the coming indignation as we accept the testimony of Paul concerning Jesus Christ and what he did for us, which you will find in the book of Romans. That is the highest spiritual book. Forget Ephesians compared to Romans. Romans is the highest spiritual pinnacle, I believe. Ephesians tells us where our destiny is. That's nice. That's icing on the cake. The cake is Romans. And I'm in a series on Romans Part 122. I've been working on it for about 3.5 years now. You can find it at martincenter.com. It's in my newsletter called the ZWTF. So there's a battle that occurred for us. Satan wanted, the first thing you want to do when a member of the body of Christ starts to become awakened is get them to church. We got to get these people into church, because there we will dissuade them and distract them from understanding their calling and from coming into it. But we, some of us got suckered into it. We became Christianized, but some miracle got us out of it. Whether we went to some website, we grabbed onto some teacher who was teaching the truth, and we came out of it. Thank God. So that's what's happening with this battle in the heaven. Because I told you, the Israelite remnant is becoming an Israelite army. And so a great battle occurred in heaven. Michael and his messengers battle with the dragon. This is Satan himself, who's still in heaven at this time. And the dragon battles and its messengers, and they are not strong enough. Satan and his messengers aren't strong enough for Michael and his messengers. Michael and Satan are the big shots here. And they all have their armies with them, their corresponding armies that are on their side. Michael's messengers are on his side. Satan's messengers are on his side, the dragon. But Satan and his messengers aren't strong enough for Michael and his messengers. Thank God. Why not just announce that? Why not just say, these divergent armies, these battling contingents are not equal. One stronger than the other one. And we announce Michael as the winner. You don't even need to have a war. But no, God stages a war. The war must be staged for the benefit of those viewing the war. I totally believe that. And I've said many times, God is not theoretical. He doesn't just hand you a truth. He's got to act it out. He makes Hosea take a wife of prostitution named Gomer. There were other prostitutes at the time, of course. There was Floyd. There was Andy. There was Opie. No, Gomer was the one. He did this whole thing as a demonstration. Doesn't just say Israel is a prostitute nation. No, he has one of the Israelites take a prostitute as a wife and go through all that ensuing trauma, maybe some nice times in bed, to prove a point. So this is a battle that must happen, and it's seen. The proof is in the manifestation of the battle, and it's a war. It's a literal battle. They're wrestling somehow in heaven. I don't know how angels wrestle, how spiritual beings wrestle, but they do. Michael and his messengers battle with the dragon, and the dragon battles and its messengers, and they, the dragon and its messengers, are not strong enough for him, neither was their place still found in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. This is an amazing event. I should say this for the next show, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna just forge ahead in the closing minutes of this show. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent, called adversary and Satan. In case you're confused about what being is being cast out here, in case you're confused about the sign of the dragon, in case you're confused about this animal, this strange animal being used to represent the adversary, this animal is the adversary. It's the ancient serpent, the ancient one. This is the one that was in the Garden of Eden who tricked our foremother, who in turn tricked our forefather, who in turn dragged us all down into the realm of sin and death so that we could be delivered by a savior, the last Adam. Yeah, this is Satan, who is deceiving the whole inhabited earth. He deceived the whole inhabited earth back in Eden, but at that time, the whole inhabited earth was two people. Nevertheless, he deceived the whole inhabited earth, and he's still deceiving the whole inhabited earth, whether there are two people or 20 billion people. The whole inhabited earth, except for the remnant and except for those rare members of the body of Christ, are being deceived. Even we would be deceived if it were possible. So slick are Satan's wiles and his ways and his stratagems. Paul calls them stratagems. That's why we're to put on the whole armor of God. A stratagem, inherent in that word, is a trick. Satan's a trickster. He's a liar. Just like the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. No. We're going to look behind the curtain and we're going to see who you are. And we know that he who is in us is stronger than you, Satan. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to call you names. I'm just saying we're onto your tricks, and we've put on the full armor of God. We have a certain degree of respect for you, Satan, because you have been used by God. And I do feel sorry for you in a way because of how you've been used. You're definitely the ultimate vessel of dishonor. Forget Pharaoh. You've got the market cornered on dishonorable vessel. And for that, you must be completely frustrated. It must be horrible for you. Everything you do only advances God's plan. That must be mind-bogglingly frustrating. It must really drive you to distraction. And I really feel bad for you in a way. On the other hand, you are one nasty mother adversary, and I don't like you. I really don't. I don't like you. You're horrible. You're horrible. But you're going to be broken by God in the lake of fire. You're one of the few conscious beings in there. Yeah, you need it. And you're going to bow down and worship God someday. And I wait for that moment. I rejoice in it. I'm not going to stomp your head. No, your head's bruised though. Yeah, but I didn't do it. Jesus did it. The seed of the woman bruised your head. And here you are wrestling. You just don't give up, do you? You just don't give up. Well, you're being energized. That's why. Your heart's being hardened by God, just like Pharaoh's heart was. When he was ready to give up and let the Israelites go, God hardened his heart. And now you're wrestling with Michael, the chief messenger. What is your problem? I'm sorry. I know what your problem is, and it is a huge problem. You've been created by God to be an adversary. You are numero uno bad guy. Numero uno bad guy. Numero uno antagonist in the great drama of the eons. But according to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, everything created, whether sovereignties or authorities, everything created will be eventually reconciled to God. That's you. You were created for this purpose, and you will be reconciled to God. And I bear witness, I bear testimony to it today in front of you, in front of the universe, in front of God, in front of Christ, in front of Judy Garland. I bear witness that you, Satan, the dragon, the ancient serpent, the deceiver of all the inhabitants of the earth, you will be reconciled to God in the fullness of times. And your voice perhaps will be the loudest of all. Your voice of praise, your voice of thanksgiving for finally being delivered from your awful role. Your voice will be the loudest of all in praise and in thanksgiving to God, for he who has been forgiven much loves much.